Hi everyone, it's Eli. You know how sometimes you stumble upon something truly game-changing in healthcare? Well, I found it. Kinetisense. This cutting-edge motion capture technology is transforming movement, assessment, and recovery. Imagine getting instant AI-driven insights without any wearables on your patient. That's right, no ping pong balls needed. Just pure, accurate data. Perfect for boosting athletic performance, pinpointing imbalances, and refining rehab. Top professionals worldwide trust Kinetisense to maximize productivity and results. Check out our partner page to learn more. Experience the revolution in movement. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More, the podcast that gives you a viewpoint in sports medicine that can't be found anywhere else. I'm your host, Eli Halleck, and we have a fantastic show ahead of us today. So let's get started. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More, the podcast that gives you information about sports medicine, athletic training, a little bit different than most other places. Today, we've got the president-elect of Arkansas's Athletic Trainers Association. He is a current supervisor of the Sports Medicine Center at the Arkansas Children's Hospital, Cody Walker. How you doing, Cody?
I'm doing great, Eli. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for joining us today. I appreciate having the president-elect on any episode, so congratulations on doing that. And it takes a special kind of person to take that amount of time of their life and volunteer. So you're doing something special, and congrats on that.
Yeah. Thank you. Happy to be here. Grateful to share a little bit about what we're doing in our state. Just get to talk to you about athletic training.
Yeah, so. It's always fun to talk to another colleague, let alone another state, and find out the differences. I always find it intriguing what the little differences are, the nuances. I mean, I know a big one between Arkansas and California. We ain't got anything out here, no licensure, no registration. But hey, we got title protection this year. It's a win. We'll take it. I'm the first one to jump on that bandwagon. We got a win for the first time in my career. So happy about that.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a huge thing. We've been through our fair share of legislative ups and downs. And so right now we're on a high point. I'm excited to share a little bit about that.
Let's get into it. Let's start sharing. Let's hear it. What's going on in Arkansas compared to California, Nevada, New Mexico, Colorado, everywhere else? What do you got going on in Arkansas right now with all the athletic trainers?
Yeah. So we just passed a Practice Act update. Passed one a couple of years ago, but it was very incomplete. The one that we currently just got through all the legislature and got to the governor's desk that she signed the other day, it's officially an act now, is we've expanded our definition of athlete to include those that are injured in recreation, sport, exercise, and a tactical duty.
Very cool.
Yeah. And that was a big rub in our state was, our practice act used to define athlete as your typical interscholastic, intramural, intercollegiate athlete, or those that were participating in a sanctioned recreational sport. And then it had that kind of defined out. I know it's kind of odd.
Sanctioned?
It's a sanctioned recreational sport. And so that was included to cover club sports like AAU basketball, stuff like that. And so the requirements were they had to have a coach, have referees, have scheduled games and practices. There was a whole laundry list of things that it kind of had to fit into.
Well, my question, though, is, and this just pops up, what about that kid that decided to go play pickup with their buddy and it's not a sanctioned sport, but he blows up his ankle? I mean, you couldn't touch him then?
Well, so there was a little, I don't want to call it a loophole, and it's not even really technically an exception to the rule, it was athlete was defined, and then we defined athletic injury. An athletic injury was an injury that was sustained participating in whatever the athlete was. It was like intercollegiate, interscholastic, intramural, blah, blah, blah. Or an injury that prevented somebody from participating in that definition of an athlete. If we'll use this as an example, if a kid was in a car wreck and hit his head and had a concussion, the athletic trainer could actually do, you know, the concussion eval and the treatment and the return to play and all that on that kid if, say, he was on the football team and that concussion was preventing him from returning to sport.
Well, that's an interesting definition, huh?
Yes. And so there was, we call them gray areas. Some gray areas that you could kind of do stuff with, but it was very limited to the traditional athletic trainer role that a lot of states have kind of been sucked into. And those that are not athletic, or those that aren't typical athletes, I'll say that, like your military, your fire, your rescue, people that are doing athletic events, training hard, but, you know, they get hurt.
Is it like physically active and just like an athlete, totally.
Or you've got a kid that just exercises for fun, but he's not on a dedicated team. He doesn't have dedicated practices. He's just out there enjoying life, and he has bicep tendonitis. You could not see him.
What about the arts then? Dancers.
Some of those kind of fit into that sanctioned recreational athlete because they have scheduled practices. They have a coach. Basically, you could kind of fit people here and there, but it was always so difficult because, you know, are we really in our scope? Are we not? So our practice act was initially wrote and went into law in the mid-1990s. And so we're a relatively young profession in Arkansas. If you compare, like, look at all the other allied healthcare professions, we're kind of the younger, if you look at the age of your practice act that was created. And so
now you're just rubbing it in when you say that. You know
we're
that.
We're just rubbing, yes. Yes. And so since it was like 1994 or 95 or something, I should probably know this off the top of my head, but I don't. It was in the mid-90s that we had this advancement. And since then, we had never been able to pass any changes to that act until 2021. So a second part of our act was supervision. How are we supervised? And so we had our settings were separated. So we had a non-traditional setting in the traditional setting, or it was non-clinical in the clinical setting were the two ways that we define that. And so your non-clinical setting was considered your athletic field, the sideline. And then your clinical setting was either in a physician office or a PT clinic. So kind of clinical setting. And up until 2021, you could not practice in a clinical setting. So at a doctor's office or at a PT clinic, unless you were under the direct supervision of a physical therapist.
Now, when they say direct supervision, I mean, are we talking room?
They are on the premise, same room. And then in the non-clinical settings on the sideline, you were under this direction of a physician. So they just had to be available for phone call, basically for consultation. And so the argument that we always made was, well, how can the doctor not supervise the AT in the clinical setting, but he can do it by a phone call? Like none of it ever really made sense. And so in 2021, we added physician to the clinical setting, but the compromise that we had to make to get the bill passed was we had to leave him on the premise. Now, they didn't have to be directly in the room with us, but they did have to be on the campus of the healthcare system. And so if I was going to see a patient with one of the physicians in our clinic, our doctor had to physically be on campus.
Okay, now I'm playing with the gray area. Let's have a little fun. We say campus. Now, some facilities have been known to have multiple campuses.
Yes.
So as long as that doc is on a campus or on the campus and the same premises?
It was worded as on the premise.
Okay.
So the assumption and the interpretation by our board was they had to physically be on the campus that the athletic trainer was on.
Got it.
In the clinical setting.
Okay.
So our workaround was we're a larger healthcare system. We have multiple physicians that work with us. Some of them are on different schedules. And so one of them may not be on campus all week long, but there was always one physician that was in clinic. And so we just put all the physicians that were comfortable having them on our license. We just put them all on there. And so then there was always somebody there that we could call that was readily available. We could call and talk to.
And that's at Children's.
Yeah, that was at Children's.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
And that's kind of how some of the other places here in Arkansas operated. But for a long time, if you wanted to be an athletic trainer in clinic, you basically operated as a medical assistant, which is an unlicensed healthcare profession that's not well regulated. At least it's not in our state. I don't know how hard it is there. A huge step down in what you're able to do, and then what you're compensated to do.
Well, you want to hear something funny in California?
Yeah.
Guess who has a state certification in California? Medical assistants.
Are you serious?
I cross my heart, baby. I tell you, when you say it that way, I start laughing because my daughter just got out of college and she's prepping for to apply to grad school as PA. And she's like, well, I need to do something. I'm like, sweetie, go take your MA cert. So she got her MA cert. She technically has a certification that is seen in the state as a healthcare provider, whereas in California, ATs aren't quite there yet.
Yeah. So what are they? We may be getting off on a tangent here, but all good podcasts do, right? So what are they able to do?
So
like
they
what, what's, what so, is their scope?
So her scope, what she's done in the past, she worked for a year and a half over at a neuro institute. She worked directly with a neuro ophthalmologist and a neuro optometrist, mostly ophthalmologist. And she would run tests. She would do patient intake. She would do medical histories, different types of tests that she was trained to do on site. Blood pressure, pulses, all that kind of stuff, basic information, and prep the patient for the physician or PA if the PA was seeing them.
Interesting. We just, our hospital is doing a big push to start hiring some MAs. We started an apprenticeship program to hire some. So I was just curious how it looked. It's not very well regulated in our state, to be honest. It's more of an institutional regulation versus a state-ran regulation. There are some things here and there, but it's kind of the Wild West in some places.
Hey, that's where I live, the Wild West for athletic training. That's what we call it all the time. So,
that's right.
You never know. And it's always interesting to compare notes in other states on what's what.
It is. And so, kind of going back, let's see if we can get back on track here.
On track, for sure.
In 21, we get this supervision piece where now the athletic trainer can practice the art and science of athletic training in the clinical setting under a physician, and they can call themselves an athletic trainer. At the same time, we ran a separate bill where we tried to add tactical athlete to the end of that complicated list of people. So it was going to be interscholastic, intercollegiate, intramural, sanctioned recreational athlete, and tactical athlete, or something like that. That's how it was worded. That got a ton of heat from our biggest adversary, which I don't know a whole lot about California's legislative efforts, But I would assume that a big adversary of y'all's is going to be your physical therapy people.
They've
Is
been
that?
known to block us once or twice.
Yeah.
I can't say too much. I'm married to a physical therapist, so I got to
Okay.
tread lightly
Gotcha.
right there. But, they've been
Gotcha.
known to block a bill or two. Yes.
Yep. Gotcha. Gotcha. I also want to be very clear that there has always been a lot of tension in our state between the athletic trainers and the physical therapists. But I think that we have done a disservice to their profession in that we've locked in all the physical therapists under the physical therapist, and that physical therapists have probably done the same thing to us. And so there has always been some, I don't want to say bad blood, but it's kind of almost bad blood between the ATs and the PTs here in our state. But it's always been a select few ATs and a select few PTs that are the ones that are having a bunch of fighting, and really both associations kind of get caught up in it. And so as I kind of share this part, I want to be very clear that my feelings towards physical therapists are, they are very vital. I have a lot of friends that are physical therapists. We have a fantastic physical therapy department here at our hospital that they provide great care to our athletes. And I work very closely with three of them here. And they're fantastic. They're advocates for their profession, advocates for our profession, really advocates for multidisciplinary care. That's a big thing for me. So when I say the physical therapist, I'm not meaning all of the physical therapists in Arkansas. There are a select few here that don't, for various reasons, have bad blood with us, and we have a select few ATs that have bad blood with them. So
yeah, that's how it is in California too. I mean, the Honest PT Association of California actually supported this last bit of legislation we put out.
Yep.
That was huge. Historically, I mean, like I said, I married a PT. I've got a ton of friends that are PTs.
Yeah.
And many of them actually side with us and agree with us and vice versa. Yeah. I think it comes down to some of the old mindsets, like you were saying, and some people just can't get out of that and look past of what it used to be to what our professions are now. And everything nowadays, like you said, has become so multidisciplinary. We should all be playing in the same sandbox, getting along, helping each other, because in the big spectrum, we're just helping these young men, young women become healthier and stronger in whatever their specific goal is.
Yeah. And it should be athlete-centered healthcare. That's a term that I use around here is, we want to create a program where it's the athletes that are the reason that we as a hospital system and we as a profession are taking care. And when I say athlete, I mean more than obviously just your traditional athlete, right? I think most of your listeners probably understand that the term athlete means more than just the football player on the football field. We mean
completely.
All these physically active people. But, terminology is important. So I do want to address those things and try to say them right. For what we do here, it's all athlete-centered. If we have an athlete that needs cardiac workup, we have a point of contact at our cardiology clinic, and they are sports-minded cardiologists that will see our kid anytime we call. And if we have a kid that has a weird rash that is probably impetigo or something, we have a couple of pediatricians here on campus that would be happy to see them. It's all about understanding how people fit into that role. And so that's what I preach a lot. Just athletic training in general is this interdisciplinary care.
And that's what it goes right back to. Many disciplines working together with one goal in mind, helping that young man, young woman, whomever it is, become healthy to get back to activity.
And so, long story short, we don't get the tactical athlete bill passed. There was a lot of misinformation that was spread by a select few physical therapists. It was really ugly. And, 2021, we're right in the midst of COVID, and we've got all this hotly charged political environment as it is. And then you've got, on top of that, these two professions that are just kind of infighting the whole time. And so we come away from 2021, we kind of get a win. We're licking our wounds a little bit. Then it's probably important to say, in Arkansas, we only do a general session every 2 years. I don't know how y'all do it in California, if y'all do a session every year or every other year. But we do our general session, like our general sessions right now. So next year it'll be our budget session or our fiscal session. And so you kind of get a shot every 2 years to get something. So yeah, you get a little bit of time to plan, but it's like, if you don't get it, you got to wait 2 more years before you can even get anything else. And so then fast forward to this year, we started getting our ducks in a row. We worked really closely with this lobbying firm that kind of helped us some of our planning, getting us connected with different people, getting us connected with legislator, kind of helping us do some legislative planning. And then we get this landmark scope of practice bill passed. It passes through both chambers with only one no vote.
Hot damn, you got to be kidding. One no vote, that's it?
One no vote.
Wow.
And I'm not quite sure why it was a no vote. It was kind of out of left field, but one no vote on a landmark scope of practice bill, which is kind of unheard of.
So let's talk about it. What entailed in this scope of practice? How did it change you guys?
Good question. So on top of the athlete definition bill part that we get passed, we loosened some of the restrictions for the athletic trainer in a clinical setting. And so in order to do that, we had a meeting with some of the physical therapists. We had a scribe. They had a scribe. We had some legislators that were involved in making that meeting happen. And we sat down in this room. And we talked about what are our no-goes, what are some things we can compromise on. Let's kind of work out a deal here that everybody will kind of be happy about. So in order to loosen some of the restrictions in the clinical setting, we had to further define, which I'm not a huge fan of further defining things, because then you start to define yourself into a corner. But
amen to that. Yep.
But the way that we did that was a freestanding rehab clinic and then a physician's office. And so then a physician's office was a hospital, or it's a hospital or any clinic that's attached to a hospital or a hospital system. And then a freestanding rehab clinic is like your run-of-the-mill clinic that's attached to maybe a PT owns or a PT group owns. And so in the physician's office, which is that hospital freestanding physician office or some kind of clinical setting that's attached to a hospital system, the athletic trainer can practice athletic training under the direction of a physician without them being on the premises. If we're seeing patients in concussion clinic and our doc needs to run down the road to Subway to get a bite to eat, we can continue to do our sway testing and our VOMS testing and all that stuff that we would normally do. We just have to be able to reach him by phone. That kind of helps out a lot of our ATs. The compromise there was that in freestanding rehab clinic, the athletic trainer had to work under direct supervision of a physical therapist. Some people would say you may have lost some ground, because before you could work in the clinical setting under a physician or a PT, now you're only working in the freestanding rehab clinic under direct supervision of a PT. I've always made the argument that physical therapists are very intelligent about rehab. And if I'm going to be supervised by one, I feel like a freestanding rehab clinic is probably appropriate. I think that's appropriate supervision. That may make me unpopular with some other people.
Hey, everybody's entitled to
But
an opinion. It's good
that
to
is,
hear.
yes. So, you know, that it was a compromise. All good politics is created with compromise.
That's true.
And we felt that what we were gaining with the definition of athlete and what we were gaining with our change to the clinical setting was going to affect more ATs than it was going to hurt ATs.
Now, here's a question for you. What about that?
Okay.
Again, I work at a high school, all boys high school. So, you know, athletics are a little important around here. Academics are the most important on our campus, but, you know, 650 slots for 650 young men to play sports. Yeah, anybody can play a sport. So how did that affect the athletic trainer, either at the high school setting or say one of those clubs that might have an athletic trainer on site?
Yeah.
How do they roll?
Elevate your knowledge, ignite your curiosity, and compete with the best minds at events hosted by the American Academic Competition Institute. AACI's sports medicine competitions feature practical exercises, challenging quizzes, specialty tests, and keynote speakers that foster knowledge and social engagement in healthcare and sports medicine. Go to AACITest.org for more information on upcoming regional and national competitions. Sign up for the Ultimate Intellectual Showdown.
Yeah, so great question. As far as the non-clinical setting, nothing changed. In fact, the physical therapist thought that it was actually appropriate that we add in the word consultation, because it used to say direction of a physician. They thought that it was good that we add in consultation, and then we define that. It's like by telecommunication means, or maybe even standing orders. I'm not exactly sure how we define that. But I think that aspect helped a little bit. It kind of helped clarify that the physician didn't necessarily need to be on the premise of a non-clinical setting. And then as far as that athlete definition change, because we added the word exercise and we added tactical athlete, I actually feel like it expanded the scope of the people that those ATs can take care of. So when I was a practicing athletic trainer, that's an ongoing joke between me and my boss. We're both athletic trainers, but we sit at a desk all day. So we're
more administrative than clinical
more,
nowadays.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly. So when I was a practicing athletic trainer, I had a coach who was working out in the weight room and he tore his pec bench pressing. And so we could provide first aid, but you know, there's not a whole lot you can do for that anyways. You go see a doctor for this. But when he came back, he wanted me to help him do some rehabilitative things on top of what he was doing in therapy. And I was not able to do that because he was just exercising. With the new scope advancement, the new definition of athlete, we would be able to, because he was hurt. It was an injury that he sustained during participation in exercise. You can also, if your principal is a triathlon guy, or he bikes or something, and he hurts himself biking, you can take care of him. If you're a resource officer that does all the security at your school, hurts his back during a training exercise, we define tactical duty as activities associated with law enforcement, fire, rescue, and military, or rescue services and military. And so he hurt his back doing law enforcement related activities. You can see him and take care of him in your training room. I would argue that while the scope advancement, the direction of a physician part may not have affected a whole lot of our ATs in the non-clinical setting. Non-clinical is maybe not the right word. Obviously, what we do in a training room is a clinical environment. And I've been trying to get away from that term, but it's just so ingrained in our practice act. It's kind of hard to get away from it. But maybe at the secondary school versus being in the clinical setting, I would argue that it does help them out some. So,
sounds good to me. I'll take it. Bring it on over here. We'll
That's
use some
right.
of that. Yeah. Hopefully, it sounds like a good model to me to push towards. So, congratulations to the entire state and the association. That's, I got to tip my hat to you guys. That's a awesome practice app. Great scope. That must have been a lot of work.
It was. There's, you know, a lot of legwork leading up to the legislative session. Our legislative session starts in January and it's over in May, or the end of April. So it's fast, furious. It's fast, furious. The legislators meet all hours of the night. They cram bills in and try to run them through before time runs out. And it's
so
a
kind of
lot.
like coaches and practices. So
That's
yeah,
right.
kind of what we're used to already.
Exactly. Exactly. The other good thing is my office is a quarter mile from the state capitol. So it's easy for me to run over there real quick and have a meeting or sit in a committee hearing and then run back over to work. So that's nice too.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's some great work by your predecessor, all your colleagues. I'm sure you had a little bit of a workload on that, because you don't just go from, you just don't jump up to president-elect when you're not doing anything in the background. So
That's right.
Great work to all you guys and your predecessors and, you know, whoever it was. Kudos to you all. And again, a little jealous over here in California. So thank you for the direction. And that's another push that we're working towards. How did you decide to, at this point, knowing what's going on, throw your hat in the ring to become possibly the state president?
Good question. A little bit of background. I've been involved with the Arkansas Athletic Trainers Association. I've been a member since I became a certified in the state, which was in 2015. In 2019, I joined the Governmental Affairs Committee here with Arkansas Athletic Trainers Association.
So just as things were getting hot with your 2021
that's
bill.
Right. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
There you go.
My boss was the president of AATA at the time. He was president-elect when he hired me. And then
no pressure there. Jeez.
No pressure. And then he rolls into the president role, a year after, maybe it's 2 years after, he rolls into the president role. And then at the time, we had a past president. And so he was on the board for 6 years in some presidential role, either as president-elect, president, or past president. And so I really got to see 6 years of what it was like to be on the board. I was very fortunate to be involved, to have a seat at the table, to be involved in this GAC committee stuff where I got to meet a lot of legislators. I got to meet a lot of other members of the state. That's kind of how I got involved. And then our current president, Keith Shireman, his term is up in April. He has been fantastic. He's worked really hard for our association. So he approached me at NATA last year when it was in New Orleans. And he said, you know, I think you're ready. And I was like, I'm 31 years old, Keith. Like, are you sure that this is something that, like, are you sure you want a guy in his early 30s to be the face of the association? Keith was like, I think you're ready. And I was like, I don't know, Keith. Like, this is a lot. I went ahead and put my hat in the fight there. Well, behold, I got elected. So yeah, that's kind of how. It's kind of an uneventful story.
Hey, but it's a story.
It is a story. And so I'm very honored. It was always a goal of mine, I would say, to be the president of the association. I, again, did not think that it would happen this early in my career. I've only been an athletic trainer for 10 years. And I was certified in 2015, so not even 10 years. It'll be 10 years in May that I've been a certified AT. I've done a lot of work with the association. I've met a lot of people. I kind of know the ins and the outs of the association because I've been around it for so long and kind of saturated in it. And so, yeah.
And the exposure of being around the president, let alone the president of the NATA, and seeing what it really looks like, it's got to be professionally, it's got to be a jolt of energy knowing that, you know, you're making a difference in something that you and so many want to be part of and want to do and want to advance. So giving back, volunteering. We did an episode, we called it voluntoldism. Being told to volunteer is one thing, but actually giving of yourself, I mean, you're trying to make the profession better. And that's so important for any of us in healthcare, because we want to be better at taking care of our patients when it comes right down to it. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
And again, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I'll say this too. My first phone call when I was asked to run was to my wife to say, hey, is this something that you're okay with? Because if you're not, then this is obviously, there's no need in even going forward with it.
Right? So you called the other boss to make sure okay.
I called the real boss.
The real boss,
The real boss. I do have a tendency to put a lot on my plate. I think that is a hallmark of being an athletic trainer. I think we wear a lot of hats and we try to overload ourselves sometimes. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. And so my wife has been very good about telling me when I should do something and when I should not. And so I was like, I'll call her first. And then if she says no, then we don't even have to go forward with it. She was super excited about the opportunity. Yeah.
God bless them. We are known as athletic trainers to have just a couple irons in the fire. I mean, there's no doubt about that, especially those of us that like to be active and volunteer and help out and get the word out. Maybe half dozen to a dozen irons some days, but
yes,
without the permission of the boss or the tip of the hat, the nod, the thumbs up sign, definitely good call, because that can make things a little difficult otherwise.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Know that all too well. Love you, honey, if you're listening right now, which she never does. So I'm just going to say love you and it'll go out there, but somebody will tell her.
Love it. Love it.
So president-elect kicks in later this year, sound like April, May. So not too long, coming right up.
Yep.
What are some things on your plate that you're hoping to get to in your tenure?
Good question. Something that I've obviously thought a lot about. The nice part about being president at this current time will be I won't have to run a scope bill, because we got this landmark scope bill passed. And then in part of that, passing that, we told some of the legislators that we were going to take a break a little bit from scope-related issues. And so the big, heavy controversy scope-related stuff will be whoever comes after me. They will have to carry that torch.
Good timing. Congratulations on that part.
That is, yes. So I kind of put all my chips in and said, well, I hope we get this done so I don't have to worry about any scope issues. We have a couple of, Arkansas is obviously a small state. We don't have a whole lot of athletic trainers compared to our state population. Only, I think it's 33-34% of our schools in Arkansas have an athletic trainer.
Now, when you say schools, do you mean high schools, colleges?
High schools.
Got it.
And I would say that even some of our smaller colleges struggle with staffing an appropriate number. They have access to athletic trainers. I would not say that some of them have appropriate numbers to kind of help with that.
Understood.
And then on top of that, we only have three colleges in Arkansas that have athletic training programs. So the University of Arkansas, which is in the northwest part of the state, Arkansas State University, which is in the northeast part of the state, and then the University of Central Arkansas, which is in, you guessed it, the central part of the state. And so
every now and then I get something right in geography. So thank you.
That's right. Yes.
There you go.
And so those three programs produce athletic trainers. They have very robust athletic training programs. But even with just those three schools, we average about 50 to 55 athletic trainers a year that we educate. Out of those 55, 60% of them leave the state to take a job somewhere else. So part of the, when we were talking to legislators about this Practice Act, part of it was, hey, we're using tax dollars to educate these people, and then they're leaving our state and they're going to practice athletic training in Texas, in Oklahoma, in Missouri, and Tennessee because they're able to do more in those states than they can do in our state. So we kind of labeled it as a jobs bill, is how we approach some legislators with that. And so, with that being said, one area that I'm focusing on is instead of focusing on practice scope advancement, now we can focus on practice advancement. How can we get more ATs into our state? Do I have the answers to all that?
Got
No.
any ideas?
I don't have all of the answers. I've been working with our GAC committee. I've been working with some of the board members, and we have some ideas. We're going to revitalize a committee that I actually started when I was in the GAC, which was a practice advancement committee, but it was kind of hard to have a practice advancement committee when you couldn't advance because of your scope. So we actually disbanded that. So I created a committee and then I dissolved the committee. And somehow I still made it as president-elect. So
Maybe everybody thought it was a good idea at the time.
maybe that's
Now
right. That's right.
they see the importance of it. So
Yes,
come on back.
right. And so we're gonna bring that back. We're going to utilize some of our board members that have connections with fire rescue places in Arkansas. We've got a huge fire training center down in South Arkansas, which is an area of the state that historically does not have great athletic training coverage. But we're looking to work with them to create some jobs down there. We're looking at creating, obviously figuring out ways to get more ATs into clinical settings, more ATs into, we've got some state-ran military bases, looking to find ways that we can implement that with National Guard and all that. So I would say practice advancement's a big one because we can actually do that now. We have a new practice act that we're able to advance. And then another big area that I have high hopes in is just increasing involvement in our association. I'm sure that if you talk to anybody on your podcast about that is involved in some kind of association, that we've seen this dip in membership activity from maybe even before COVID, but definitely during COVID, that has not really rebounded. And we're looking to get more people involved. I selfishly would like to get more young people involved because a lot of the people that do a lot of stuff in our association are nearing retirement age. They've been around since the creation of the association and they're about to retire. So we're going to have a huge gap if we don't start bringing in younger people. Those are kind of two areas.
I really couldn't agree with you more on the latter. I agree with both of them. I mean, I think, and I've got ideas going like nuts. Hey, try this. Hey, try that. But this is just a
I'll
podcast,
take
so
whatever
there you
ideas you want
go.
to give me offline. I will
There you go, baby. I'll give you a couple.
accept that.
But
Yes.
I, as a preceptor for two universities, myself and my other colleagues here at St. Francis, I'm constantly pushing the younger generation, hey, get involved, get involved. You want to be different. You want to make a difference. You want this. You want that. How are you going to do it? Not going to be doing it just sitting in your clinic out on the field doing nothing. You got to get your voice heard. You got to be part of it. You got to network. You got to become part of not the problem, but the resolution. And I was actually stunned to find out this year, and this is all came out during the whole, title protection in California when we got that win, that in many states, you don't have to be part of the state association And I sat there going, you've got to be kidding me. It's mandatory in California. Excuse me. If you pay your dues, you are automatically part of the CATA. And to me, it's a no-brainer. You know, you pay your dues to the NATA, you're automatically part of the region, you're automatically part of the state association. But in many states, if they're licensed, you don't have to join the NATA. You can just pay your state dues and be done. And I don't get that because then your voice isn't heard. You can have an opinion, but nobody cares because you ain't got a vote. You ain't got a say. Why not? Jump in, be part of the resolution, not the problem.
Yep, I definitely agree. In my day-to-day work, I'm a hiring, though we call them hiring managers. I'm not a manager, I'm a supervisor, but hiring manager is just a term that we use to mean that we hire people. And so I get the privilege, I would say. Sometimes it's more of a duty than it is a privilege of interviewing and hiring people. I have had the privilege of interviewing and hiring a lot of new athletic trainers that are recent graduates that don't have a whole lot of experience. And so they always bring a very refreshing, bright outlook on life. And that is the energy that would benefit the association. It is a new outlook on why are we doing these things the way that we're doing. And that's not to say that the ways that we are doing them is bad. They may be bad, they may not be bad. They may have worked 10, 15 years ago, they may not have worked 10 or 15 years ago. And but it is another option. It is another voice that is being, hey, why don't we have we thought about doing this? We actually have thought about that and we did and we tried it and it didn't work. That's a conversation that I have a lot. Sometimes it's, you know what? I don't know if anybody's ever said that. Can you give me a better idea of what you mean? So it's looking at things with a different lens. And the other thing is, athletic trainers now are better educated than they ever have been in the history of our
Amen.
profession.
Amen. They come out knowing stuff that took me years after I
Yes.
was certified to learn. I mean,
Yes.
they are just phenomenal nowadays
And
educationally.
some of my new grads will call me and they'll say, hey, I've got a kid that's got this. And I'm like, I've been a practicing athletic trainer for 10 years. I've worked in the high school setting, I've worked in the clinical setting, and I've never ever seen what you're talking about. Like, there's no way this kid has this. And then lo and behold, they do. And I'm gonna go read up on it because I heard about it
Quickly.
once in one lecture
Yep,
when I
yep,
was in college,
yep.
God knows how long ago. It's outstanding to me at how well educated they are. And I felt decently prepared when I became an athletic trainer. I felt like I knew a good bit of stuff. I mean, I passed my test on the first try and I was able to kind of do, athletic training stuff. But what these grads know is it amazes me because
Blows me away. Yep.
it's not stuff that I would have ever thought about learning as an athletic trainer. And that, if that's the direction that athletic training is going, then we're going to need those people in our profession and in our association to help drive us towards what athletic training is, the direction that athletic training is going in. And so that's why big on the involving the young pups in it.
Yep.
I feel like I have the ability to do that because I am still a young pup by most measures. And
By my
so
measure, you are.
I
You're much
yes.
younger than me, so God bless you. I'm jealous. I'm jealous. I remember those days.
So I'm hopeful that that connection with our graduates that are graduating here soon will, I'm hopeful that they will stay in our state. And if they do, that they will get involved because we've got a lot of stuff that we want to do and we need them. We need them to do it.
Generally, I ask my last question for almost everybody is, what's something you'd want to say to your younger self or to a younger colleague, moving forward? And you really just did it. Get involved, right?
Yes. Yep. That is, if I was going to get on a soapbox, that would be the soapbox I would get on. Is find a way to get involved, find a way to get connected. And when I got connected, I was on a committee with a bunch of other people, and I kind of sat in the back and I listened and I kind of kept my mouth shut. But I was there, I was present. And when it was my turn to talk, I spoke my piece and I was confident about the stuff that I said. And when I said something wrong, I accepted the correction, and I grew in it. And that's how we have growth. Definitely, you got to get connected. It's a huge part.
So, yeah, wow. This was a fantastic episode. I learned so much about scope of practice in Arkansas, let alone how I'd like it to roll out in California. Or I'm sure many of our listeners are going, you know what? That's some good information for our state. Thank you, Cody. This is fantastic. I really appreciate your time. We got to pull on back when you've been in the role for a year, see how it's going, compare notes, what things you have been doing, and what direction Arkansas is heading. Sounds like they're in good hands, though. So good luck with that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it was a pleasure to talk to you a little bit about our state. I'd be happy to come back on in a year, and hopefully I've got a good report for everybody.
I have no doubt you will. So thank you very much. Appreciate your time, and thanks for being on Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More. Have a great weekend, buddy.
Yeah, you too, Eli.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Want to make sure you hear every episode? Remember to like, follow, and subscribe to our podcast. Don't forget to share our podcast with your colleagues, family, and friends. Your support will help more people find and enjoy our content. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is directed by Eli Hallett. It is produced by Gabriel Hallett. Our theme music is by Coma Studios via Pixabay. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the contributors. Want to know more about us? Visit us at wrapituppodcast.com. That's with one P, wrapituppodcast.com. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is a production of Hallett Consulting, LLC.